Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside and inside. It's even more beautiful.
The point of having a bunch of Ferraris and keep them in the garage, you know, like, take them out to the track, so.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of All In with Art Stapleton, a New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I'm your host, Art Stapleton, and we are 2 weeks in. We're under the two-week wire for the NFL draft. The New York Giants are still sitting at sixth overall, and there's a lot of speculation. You've heard for months. We're talking about it and talking about it and who they like and who they may not like and what they may do. Well, we'll get to that. We'll have our mock draft coming up, so make sure you check out that on all your podcast platforms and on NorthJersey.com. I'm going to take you through the video aspect of it. We'll go pick by pick, tell you why I made my moves. I think it'll be a lot of fun. But on today's show, another local guy and one of the top running backs in the draft, class of 2024, from Notre Dame via St. Joe's Regional, Rockland County, Audric Estime. He was kind enough to join me. We talked about where he is now. Obviously, you can go back to the combine in Indianapolis. I spent time with Audric, not only at the podium, but also we were able to get him off the podium for a couple minutes and talk about his journey. He's got a heck of a story. Make sure you check out my story back from the first week of March that went on NorthJersey.com about Audric. And now he sees the finish line. So we talked about that, what the last month or so has been, the anxiety that comes with being a top prospect, the uncertainty that comes with not knowing which team likes you, what's real, what's fake, what's genuine, what is a smokescreen, all that stuff Audric shares with me. But before we go to the interview with Audric, just wanted to give you a little state of where the Giants are at. As we told you back in February at the Combine, we were there with Dane Brugler. You can check out that episode. Still holds weight. We went through all the prospects. Dane just released his beast of a scouting report. I think it's 360 pages or so, going through all the prospects that are in the class of 2024. You know, Dane met with me. We talked about what are the options for the Giants. You can go all the way back to that episode on YouTube, watch the video, or if you prefer audio, make sure you listen to the audio on all of your podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, Omni, anywhere you want to get All In, you can get it. And we do appreciate feedback. We appreciate your contributions to the show. Myself and producer Paul Wood, we are, you know, we're going into year four now, so it's pretty crazy that this show has grown to what it is. So we appreciate you. The Giants visits all of the top receivers they've met with extensively, both in the building, on campus. Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, Malik Nabers from LSU, and Rome Odunze from Washington. Those are the three top receivers, consensus. The Giants have met with them. They've done extensive work on them. They're all in play at number six. And then we get to the quarterbacks. And Drake May and J.J. McCarthy came in early. They did their 30 visits with the Giants. They were in East Rutherford. They were at the facility back in right after the combine. They started their top 30s. So they met extensively with May and McCarthy on campus at North Carolina and Michigan, respectively. We all know the Giants met with Caleb Williams at the combine. Now, Caleb Williams is going to Chicago, so they've done their homework there, but that's pretty much a fait accompli. He's going to the Bears, and that's the assumption that everybody's working under. Now, Joe Shane is not going to go off an assumption at any other level, so they're going to do all the work that they would do as if that player is somehow available and on their board at number six. So the latest, Jaden Daniels, who I had going to the Giants on my pre-combine mock draft. The first one we did, I had Daniels going to the Giants. He will be in East Rutherford next week for a 30 visit with the Giants. They met with him at LSU at the pro day. Same with Malik Nabers. So the Giants are doing all their homework. Now, will Daniels be there? Will Drake May be there? Will JJ McCarthy be there? We're not sure. Nobody knows. But all you have to do is pretty much play the odds, and you have to play the percentages, and you have to be prepared just in case that player is sitting in your lap. You can't look at each other if that player is sitting there and say, man, we should have met with him X amount of times. They're doing all of that. And I think that sets up Joe Shane and this regime very well for next in two Thursdays where we're going to be at for the first round of the draft. So again, more to come on my mock draft on Monday. We'll have two more mock drafts, Giants only. It'll be Monday. And then the Wednesday, day before the draft, will be our final Giants only mock draft, essentially telling you what I expect the Giants to do. That'll be the last call of who I think they should take and where I'm leaning. You know, mock drafts are always, you try to use whatever educational and reporting aspects you can use, but also it's a little bit of opinion. So I know everybody is split on the mock draft. Some like it, some don't like it. I try to keep mine as authentic as possible. So that's where we're at with the Giants. Next Wednesday, which is 8 days before the draft, is the last day that teams can have in-person contact with prospects. So keep that in mind. Next week, there could be a flurry. There's probably around 20 of the 30 visits that the Giants have had with prospects. They cannot do any more visits after Wednesday. Now, they can reach out to prospects and speak to them virtually. If you remember the story that Kayvon Thibodeau told us on draft day, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll FaceTiming Kayvon as he was getting on the plane to go to the draft, kind of giving him a little teaser for what may come if he was available at five, and he was. So that's where we're at. Let's get into our interview with Audric Estime. Make sure you check out if you're watching on YouTube, and we do appreciate it. Our audience is growing there. We may break out eventually and have our own all-in page, but that's to come. If you see some links that pop up on the screen during the interview with Audric, make sure you click them. You could find the information that I was talking about, both Audric's singing audition, if you will, at the Combine, Sweet Caroline. We had that on our website, that video. That's a fun watch. And then my story on Audric back from March. We'll have another story on Audric, but we wanted to get this interview out to you now. So because of his schedule, we weren't able to get him video. So unfortunately, we have him on audio. So make sure you enjoy the interview. And here's my interview with Audric. Audric, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Just enjoying the process. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been about, it seems like, forever since I was with you out in Indianapolis for the Combine. How does the actual reality of the last 2 months match up with what your expectations were when you started prepping and hearing stories from everyone of what this process was going to be like?
Yeah. You never really know until you start doing the process. So, I had a little idea, not really ideas, but thoughts of what it'd be like. But it's definitely a process. I really didn't think it would be this anxious. I'm not going to lie, like early on in the process, you're just really locked in. But the more you get into it, just more you want to play ball. Like, I've been ready to play ball. That's what I missed the most, and honestly, to be the opportunity to play ball, like spring ball. But it's just a blessing, honestly, leading up to it. Like, if you asked me a couple of years ago, what would it be like? And I would honestly answer you as, like, it would be a blessing to be going through this process. And if you ask me that question now, I'm just going to be the same answer, that it's a blessing to be in the process. So, honestly, I'd say that's the biggest similarities.
Now, I remember standing with you at the Combine for your podium interview, and, you know, complete with the singing of Sweet Caroline. I mean, you were about as at ease as any prospect that came through there. And then obviously after the on-field workouts, all of a sudden it's almost like the nerves and the anxiety of what's next kind of crept in. Can you take me back a little bit to really when you were leaving Indianapolis, how your perspective may have changed and how you kind of had to fight through that and overcome that to what the next month was going to be like?
Yeah, definitely. So I knew going through this process, there's a whole bunch of unknowns, and that's just in life itself, honestly. There's a bunch of unknowns, but you got to be prepared for anything. You got to be prepared for anything in life. So I'll definitely prepare for anything, and I'm still prepared for anything in this unknown process, but you got to take your ups and your bads. Like, I feel like I had a really good combine with the interviews, and I jumped really well, but I maybe didn't run as fast as I wanted to, but that's just the opportunity of being at the combine, and the combine was just one once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Like you said, once I got it done, once I finished the workout, that was my last time doing that at the NFL combine, and then I had about 2-3 weeks to prepare for my pro day, and I got to run my 40 again, and I improved in it, and I felt a lot better, more confident about my time. I had a really strong workout, too. And like you said, after I knocked out those two things, I'll never have to do things like that. it's just really just on to the next in this process, and it's just going to be like that for the rest of my career. But I'm just enjoying it as much as possible.
I assume you'll be happy to never have to run another 40-yard dash that's timed. You'll run 40 yards and maybe even longer in the pros, but...
Well, definitely. But like the times, no, sir, and not in the short t-shirt. It's going to be a pad the next time.
So you go to your pro day, and obviously for 3 weeks, all you kept hearing about or all anyone wanted to talk about was that number from the combine. Were you surprised with how much people just kept hammering at that, knowing that, you know, you're a guy who went in saying, and I remember you saying this, that I'm not worried about the numbers. Like, I know what I've put on film, and that's kind of that whole juxtaposition, right, with the whole process of everyone wants to tell you, just give us the film, and then you give them the film and they say, well, what about the number that you did in, you know, your shorts and a t-shirt?
Yeah, no, most definitely. But I'm just a guy that will forever live by that what do you put on film, because once you get to the next level, they evaluate you off what you do on film. So I'm a big eye guy. Like, I know I'm the most productive running back in this draft class, and I'm just forever stand by that. And I understand where these guys put some effort into the 40 time and all the jumping. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I was definitely a little surprised at my number myself. But at the end of the day, I know who I am. I know that's not me. I know my capabilities, and I know I'm very fast. I know I'm able to run away from defenders. I know I'm able to jump over defenders, run through defenders, and that's my job. At the end of the day, is to play football, not to run 40. So I do my job at a very high level, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, the difference of 1.5 seconds, you never expect it to completely change the perspective of somebody's career, right? Or not even 1.5, 0.5, half a second. That it's just crazy. Take me back to the pro day. How good did that feel, knowing that, you know, that chapter of this process was over, and, you know, maybe even looking forward now, what has the last couple of weeks been like for you? And, you know, what are you anticipating now? Now, you know, the finish line, you can see the finish line, but it's a lot closer than what it was, you know, back in January.
Yeah, like I said, this whole thing has just been a process, and I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as possible. Like, there's a lot of boxes throughout this process I got to check off, and the combine was one, the pro day was one, and those are two big ones. And now it's really just like these meeting with coaches and just, yeah, getting to know them. But now it's time really to start to prepare for the what's come, because once I get drafted, it's time to play some ball. But yeah, I'm just here going through the process, and like I said, I'm very anxious. Like, I'm just ready for the draft, ready to find my home. I'm ready to play some ball.
How do you handle the, you know, the process is one thing, but then the interviews and meeting everybody, and like I said, you're a very, you know, social person, at least that's how you struck me. You're not intimidated by people. You build relationships seemingly very easily. So when it comes to meeting all these teams and meeting coaches, how do you compartmentalize the idea that, you know, this is part of the process, but then also, you know, I really like meeting with that team. You know, I really like those guys. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I'd love to see myself in that uniform. How do you balance all those things, knowing that, you know, what you know isn't always the full picture, the full story of how this thing is playing out? How do you handle it? What's the best way for you to handle this whole thing?
Really just like to take one day at a time and talk to every – just be authentic, honestly, with every coach, every team I talk to. And I'm a football player, but at the end of the day, I'm a human being, and I pride myself to be a high-level human being, like be very social and be a high moral person. And I like to honestly interact with a lot. I like to meet new people. I like to meet figure out new playbooks and see – I've seen new perspectives on a lot of new things. So I'm just honestly enjoying the process and all aspects of it. Like, it's more than football, honestly. You got to do a lot of board work. You got to meet a lot of people. They want to know about you and your family life. And at the same time, you get to find out more about them and their family. So it's a cool process. I'm enjoying every aspect of it.
Now, you're an authentic person. You believe in that. You believe in being genuine. Anyone I've talked to you in your entire career from, you know, Pop Warner in Rockland County to through St. Joe's, then to Notre Dame, and now in this process, says, you know, the one thing about Aldrick is he's real, he's genuine, you know, he is who you see he is. How do you manage people's personalities when you get a pretty good read on somebody and how genuine they are for you? Do you treat it like a job interview where, you know, you're just meeting potential, you know, places where you're going to end up working? You know, I'm just always curious when people go through this process, everybody handles it differently. How do you handle it? How real is it for you? Or are you, I used that word compartmentalized before, are you able to kind of compartmentalize things? Or is it a, you know, you go home and you'll kind of take notes on teams that you met or things that you may remember from that meeting that you may want to remember moving forward? What's that like?
Definitely. I just try to go into each one of these meetings and each team I meet with and be myself, honestly. Like, I don't try to change throughout each team. I try to be the same. I am going to be the same guy every meeting, and they're going to get the best version of me, and hopefully I get the real authentic version of them, because once I have time for me to play with them, I don't want anything to change. But that's all I can ask for. All I can do is be the best version of myself. And the teams I've met with so far, I like them a lot. I bonded with them, and they are very energetic and guys who love football, love the game of football, and I connected with them so far. But this is the life you live in. You're gonna have to do that within work. You're going to have to work with people you might not connect with as well, but at the end of the day, you just have to make it work. I think that's what I'm really excited about doing.
Now, you grew up in North Jersey. You were at St. Joe's. Obviously, you know, we know the players that have come through there. You know, I'm sure at some point you've crossed paths with, you know, the McCourties when they were coming back, and, you know, the level of athlete that was at St. Joe's. And then you go to Notre Dame, and obviously, you know, there's plenty of history to be awestruck by. Throughout this process, meeting with teams, whether it's coaches or going to a facility, that kind of thing, is there anything that you could say now that has kind of took you back a little bit to, you know, that maybe a little bit in awe, I can't believe I'm standing here or seeing this, you know, trophy at a place, that kind of thing?
No, honestly, I'm just being where my feet is at. Like, I've, like, to get to this process where I'm at, it's been a journey, like going through Pop Warner, Rockin' Cali, with the Valley Hornets, and then getting to St. Joe's Regional, and then Notre Dame. Like, I always pride myself to change the environment that I am there. Like, I wanted to be the best player to ever play for the Hornets, the best player to ever walk through St. Joe's High School halls, the best player to ever come to Notre Dame. And that continues. Like, just whoever gets me, whoever drafts me, is going to get a guy who's going to want to be the best guy to ever come through that that team's program. So I'm just a guy who's just staying where he sees that and not looking too far in the future, not looking too far in the past, and just being where my feet is at. But at times, going through this process, it makes you think of the past, where you came from, and it just makes you just work so much harder for the to have better future, to have a better future.
There's always that component of the process that you can't control, or at least that you know you can't control. But then there's also the friends and family part of the process, and you know, the questions from everyone: where are you going? Where are you going? You know, where'd you go today? Oh, you're going to be here. We want you to be at our team. That kind of thing. What's the feedback? And do you almost anticipate that now getting closer to the draft? You know, how are you going to kind of spend your draft weekend? And you know, I would imagine you're going to want to have people around you that are part of this process or part of this journey, but also getting people to understand that, you know, look, I when I have answers, I'm going to give you answers, but I can't tell you if I'm going to go here, there, what mock draft has me here, there. How does that whole thing play out in your mind and your heart over the next couple of weeks?
I kind of been trying to live underneath a rock for a little bit. I've been trying to just, I keep my phone open for my family members and like my support system, like my agency, all the people in my agency. But like, I'm just trying to keep my head down and work, and I pray, and I feel like I'm gonna land wherever I'm supposed to land. And you always have those people, those outsiders, or don't think you should get drafted as high, or think you should get drafted higher than you're expected. But like, those people don't really know, and you have a bunch of family members or friends always asking you where you're going. But like, at this point, I'm just really just head down and just really just trying to get to the draft. And right when I get to the draft, it's time for me to go to work. But like, yeah, like I said, I'm really just keeping a low profile. I'm really just talking to my close inner circle right now.
Is that hard? Is that hard to do, or do you find that easier to do than maybe you would have anticipated?
It's not, I wouldn't say it's really hard or easy, really, because, like I said, like, I'm not in school right now, so I don't really have, my main priority right now is just to stay ready for rookie mini camp and to interview well with these coaches, and I don't really have a lot of task right, like, it's a big task right now, but I just really, just laser and focusing on one thing, I don't find that really too hard to do, but it's hard to not give everyone as much answers as they want to hear, because I don't really know as much or accurate answers right now, but yeah. I wouldn't say it's too hard.
The interview process, it's really changed over the last couple of years. I mean, really since the pandemic, the virtual component is now become a part of that, where, you know, teams can kind of reach out virtually and you can have, you know, visits per se with teams. And then obviously you have 30 visits. What has that process been like for you? Have you kind of run the gamut in terms of getting a chance to go to teams, but also having contact with teams and, you know, checking in and the random check-in from a team, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So like, I knew that was going to be part of the process. So I'm really open-minded about it. Like, I've actually came back from a visit with Chicago yesterday. Yeah, I'm going to go out and visit a couple more teams in the next couple of weeks, and I probably have a Zoom call every other day or some new coach calling me, or I get a new text message. And this is something I kind of knew I expected to be coming in, but that's also take back to what I said of being really locked in on the task at hand. So when you got to be on your phone, I'm not going to lie to you, got to be on your phone all day, every day, in case you get a text message or a call from a coach, you want to be able to answer the call, schedule a meeting or something. But that's something I knew was going to be part of it, and I'm ready for it. And it's not going to be top forever, because at the end of the day, there's only going to be one team that's going to be able to pick you up, and that team is the one team that's going to get all your focus.
I know I asked you back at the combine the idea of a potential homecoming. You know, you grew up in this area. You know what New York, New Jersey can be like. Terrence Fede spent some time with the Giants, and I know you've had some contact with the Giants. Just curious, do you allow that to creep into your head, the idea of what it would be like to come home?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I actually thought of myself playing in a whole bunch of different areas in different cities, and of course, what type of person would I be if I didn't think of playing at home? But it would definitely be a great opportunity to have like my family come to all the home games and being an area that I'm familiar with. But I'm honestly just looking for the best opportunity and the best situation. And if the New York Giants are just the best situation, that's where I'd love to play at.
Last thing, draft weekend. It's always a strange situation for a guy who's kind of, you know, trying to figure out where you're going to go. You know, could be day one, could be day two, could be early day three. How do you handle those 3 days? What are your plans? Are you going to spend it with friends and family? Are you going to try to hole up? I mean, I've talked to guys in the past. I want to go play golf. I'm going to go shopping with my brother, you know, that kind of thing. What are you going to do? Or do you not have your plans kind of set up in stone yet?
Oh, yeah, I already know what I'll do. I'm going to be with my family and friends, honestly. I'm going to be home around that time, and I'm just going to be there spending as much time with them, because throughout this process, I haven't really been able to spend time with them. And honestly, being with them cools my nerves, and I know it's a very anxious time. Like, I'm pretty anxious now, but that's a whole other, another level of anxious. But I'm just going to control what I can control at the end of the day and spend it with my loved ones.
Have you always been an anxious guy, or is this kind of new for you?
Nah, this is definitely new for me. I'm not going to lie to you. This is it's just a certain unknown. Like, coming to college, you got to pick what school you wanted to go to. And throughout the high school, I got to pick what high school I wanted to go to. But here, it's a team picking me, and I'm just kind of anxious and curious to where I'm going to bring my talents to, where I'm going to play my career at.
Well, in about 2 weeks and a couple days, give or take an hour or so, you'll find out where that's going to be. And I love following your story. North Jersey and Rockland County and New York want to, you know, rooting for Audric Estime. So I appreciate you giving me the time, and, you know, best of luck. I'm sure we'll be talking at some point in a couple of weeks, but thanks again for doing this. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, special thanks to Audric Estime for joining me. And again, this is our second time kind of talking the process and the reality with Audric. And he, back at the combine, he ran a 4.7, and that was the lowest or slowest for any running back in the field. And all of a sudden you started hearing a lot of knocks because he's a big guy. He's a power back, but he has some speed. He was disappointed, as he talked about the number he ran. He ended up running at his pro day in Notre Dame in South Bend. He ran a 4.56. It's pretty crazy how 4.56 versus 4.7, like I said, you shave off that little of a time, but it's significant when you're looking at those numbers. And that put him right back in line with where people thought he was watching the film of, you know, he's a power back, but he's got some speed to him. So he's not a slow back by any stretch. Does he end up with the Giants? It'll be very interesting to see how things break out. As we talked to Turbo the other day, Turbo Miller, signing him before the draft is an interesting add. I still believe the Giants will look to add a veteran running back to go with Devin Singletary. They're going to use more of a committee with Saquon Barkley gone. Matt Breida is a free agent. I don't expect him to be back, but it could happen. I think Eric Gray, fifth-round pick last year, because of what happened on special teams as a returner, I think people are more down on Eric Gray than maybe they should be. You know, I talked to Eric Gray at the end of last season, and, you know, he said he brought up Kyron Williams from the Rams, who didn't do much as a rookie, and then all of a sudden you look at what he did last year for the Rams. I think there's still hope that Eric Gray can contribute on offense here, and that he's not the bust that everyone is calling him, because he was put in a difficult situation as a returner. And obviously things did not go well, and he was not comfortable doing that. And he ended up losing the job and getting hurt. And then it really derailed the rest of his rookie season. So will Audric be a guy that the Giants look at early in day three? He could be a late day two, early day three guy. I think he's probably more of a round four, round five running back, just the way this entire class is likely to get pushed back. So it'll be something to watch. But hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed Audric. Like I said, I think he's a good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a local guy. A lot of people in North Jersey are rooting for him. And we wish Audric well. And who knows, if he ends up with the Giants, we'll get him back on. Next time we'll have him on video, and we'll put it out there and let him tell his story again. So for Paul Wood, I'm Art Stapleton, and for Audric Estime, thanks for being all in,
and we're all in too. Make sure you check back next week, Monday, our mock draft show.